You better start our special meeting, the Board of Public Commissioners of the Crescent City Harbor District. Let's do the roll call.
Commissioner Schmidt? Commissioner Niemer? Commissioner Shepherds?
Present.
Vice Chair Evans?
Present.
Chair Weber?
Present.
Hey, Gerhard, could I think something up?
Yes,
it
please.
Says here that I'm on a secondary meeting location. I don't know how that got on this agenda, so. That must have been copied over from that.
No. Yeah.
Cross that out.
Yeah.
And then also the Pledge of Allegiance, that's prior to the meeting coming to adjournment. I want to make sure that's not. Or I'm sorry. I apologize. Sorry, I was thinking of something else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Works for me. Good, good. All right, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll finish that, Chair.
Okay. All right, any public comments? Seeing none, hearing none. I'm gonna move on. Number two, detailed review of the current.
Excuse me, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. Okay.
I actually do have comment. I was trying to fiddle with this and you guys went so super fast. Am I able to give public comment? I just put it in the chat.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to need, I put it in the chat that I have a request for the board to sign a letter of support for salmon protection. And I'm asking that I have a few extra minutes in order to read the draft letter. And this is Alicia Williams. So can I have that approval, please, so I can read this?
For what protection?
Is that the same? The letter isn't in the email that you sent me, is it?
No, this one, I'm not completely done with it. I'm drafting it because the water board meeting is tonight and I would like to hand it in because it's the actual board authority that's attending instead of just their staff. And so it's super like time sensitive, unfortunately. And so I can read it to you and then I can provide it to your email so that you guys can make, you know, if you guys need to alter it or edit it in any way. And then put it on your letterhead, and then I can come pick it up later. So I can read what I have. It's pretty close to being finished, but it is going to take probably a little bit.
The problem is that we'd have to have it in an open session.
And we'd
have to call it ahead of time, as you often remind us that we have to do that. And I'm really interested in that letter. I really like the biochar. Everything you said was sounds really great. But I think we would have to have the finished draft and we would have to vote upon it amongst the commissioners before we could actually sign off on it, if you know what I mean.
I understand that. So
there's
what
a process. I've done this many times and there's a process. I don't like the process, but that's the process.
Well, what I was
that's hoping to be clear and transparent.
What I was hoping to do, Rick, is to read the draft to you this morning, let you guys, like I said, if you want to alter it or whatever, and then I can ask that you have it on the opening portion of the agenda at 2. And then at that point, you guys can be like, yeah, we're signing off on this as written. And then you can provide it on letterhead and I can hand it in. I have a stack of public comment declarations from a bunch of people in the community that have experience with this that also want their voices heard. So I was going to turn in the letter of support from our Crescent City Harbor District along with that stack tonight at 6 o'clock. So would that be something that you could do? It's not that long. I've summarized it pretty good for how much scope this is involving. I think I did a pretty good job. It's like not even 2 pages. So
Ms. Williams, with all due respect, so I think that's something that'd be more appropriate if you send it to our email. We can review it and sign on to it as a private citizen, but not in our capacity as a commissioner due to the time constraints with placing it on the agenda. If you'd like to, I'd love to see it. And I'd make a decision at that point as a private citizen whether or not I would support that letter. But this is a budget workshop that we're currently engaging in. And I think it's outside the scope of this meeting.
So if you talk to Mike Rademacher, he'll explain how this is actually has to do with the salmon fishery, and that's really integral to the Crescent City Harbor District viability long term. It's been one of the things that has led to the decline of the economic viability of our harbor.
So as I previously stated, I don't think it'd be appropriate for us to place it on the agenda at this time during this meeting or the next meeting due to the time constraints, but I'd love to see the letter, and I'd be willing to make a decision at that point as a private citizen to sign on it. But within my personal capacity as a commissioner, I don't think it'd be appropriate at this time, Ms. Williams.
Well, how do you know? Because you're not even letting me read it. And you're not looking into the issues at all or anything. So how can you make that judgment call? It's definitely a harbor business item. Like, so if you guys want to put it on the agenda for 2 o'clock, that's fine.
I get it. But no, I can't even put it on for 2 o'clock because I need to have my 72 hours. We're working so hard of getting most of the items within the 72 hours on the as much as we can. And here we are. We're trying to break our own rules again. It might be a worthwhile endeavor on your part, and probably very helpful for the harbor and for the fishing community. However, I can't do it.
So would you allow me in public
comment? At this point, you have 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes.
Well, in the 3 minutes, I'm going to read the letter, and then
already had your 3 minutes. You're now on 4.
I'm sorry?
You already had your 3 minutes. I'm looking at the clock here.
I asked you before I started if I would be allowed to read this letter. It's not very long. And that's what I was intending to do.
Go ahead, do it, please.
Thank you. So it just states that, you know, it's Crescent City Harbor District to the North Coast Regional Water Board Authority regarding pesticide impacts on salmonids and our local commercial salmon fishery. So what I have so far is the Crescent City Harbor District appreciates that the North Coast Regional Water Board Authority does what they do, to maintain water quality in our region. And we appreciate you taking the time to come out today on October 8th to hold a special hearing at 6 p.m. at the Board of Supervisors Chamber in the Flynn Administration Building. We apologize that we cannot attend the hearing, but we are sending you this letter of support to encourage the immediate implementation of best management practices that does not rely on synthetic pesticides for Easter lily bulb cultivation in the Smith River Plain. In the Smith River watershed is an essential habitat, including wetlands, that are a precious resource for multiple species, including salmonids and other fish that are essential to the viability and stability of our harbor. The Smith River is a unique river in the state of California because it has never been dammed. While salmonids are declining in river systems all over as a result of decades of population decline, as a result of reduced access to waterways from dams, that is not the cause for the decline of salmonids in our river watershed. Overwhelming evidence from National Marine Fisheries Service and Cal Poly Humboldt chemist, as well as California Department of Fish and Wildlife, Department of Pesticide Regulation, and the pesticide label warnings themselves, as well as water sample data from your regional water board staff over the past 25 years, all document the fact that copper applied annually for the last 3 or 4 decades by Easter lily growers is the main pressure. Hold on, I lost my spot because I had to move it. Is the main pressure on our salmonid populations, which has led to the impending extinction of coho and is threatening our Chinook. This evidence comes from multiple experts that have compiled and studied virtual mountains of data collected over this time frame of 3 or 4 decades. These experts have lifetimes of previous data that has studied every aspect of ecosystems, population pressures, and every detail about the biology and behavior of multitude of plant and animal species. The results of the continual buildup of copper in the lily fields of the Smith River wetlands area is flushed into the waterways when the copper contaminated soils are loosened from cultivation practices and then mobilized in air and water from our powerful annual storm events. Therefore, in light of this evidence, this Crescent City Harbor District strongly supports the Water Board Authority to adopt specific best management practices within your lily bulb water discharge permit, namely regenerative practices that have been studied and have shown to be effective for the particular issues of concern for Easter lily crop. These include the following, and there's four here. So the first one, crop rotation for diversification. I have like maybe one more minute and then I'll be done. Is that okay? So
we've already received 7 minutes into our meeting.
Okay, so can I get one more minute to finish this?
We're done.
I'm sorry, this is it. Thank you very much.
Okay, and then so if I send this to the email.
That's it. That's it. You have, by now, you have twice the 3 minutes, and I think this is what has been allotted to you. I appreciate your effort. Thank you.
And then at the 2 o'clock,
I'm going to go ahead and finish. Let me cut the sound, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
All right, thank you. All right, somebody else. Okay, let's move on to number two, detailed review of the current year approved budget, just budget as needed.
Okay. Actually, I didn't think we'd have any action items at this meeting. I thought this was just for informational purposes only. If at the end of this meeting, you felt like at the end of in the next meeting, we put an agenda item on the next meeting, which is the open public regular meeting, so that if something did come from this meeting and you guys wanted to do something, I would hope that you would do your action item in the next meeting and not at this meeting. But let's see how it goes. I thought there might be more people here. So I'm going to jump back and forth between two screens. This is the report that has our budget on it. You can see that we have the approved budget. There's the adjustment column, and then there's the proposed budget. And then I'm spreading it out for you to show you how I'm going to have it in the system. And the first 2 months are already in the system. When I'm at the next meeting, which is the financial meeting, I'll have my third month in there, and I'll go ahead and add the rest of these spreads as we see them here.
Can you zoom in a little bit? That's Excel, right?
It's Macro Pro.
Okay.
Well, you guys can't see that well enough? You have this in front of you.
Yeah.
You guys don't really need to see it up on the screen.
Yeah.
Here's, they've got some.
Yeah.
So you're
going to
have to look at
this
five,
is that what I'm
hearing?
You want to?
You want
to? Yeah. You need to waste
your time.
Okay.
Good
enough. I can leave it.
Yeah.
Two people are really following.
What did you do? The control?
I think I'm going to have a
Hold
this game with that. Yep.
Okay.
That's
good. That's good. Have it nice and big, so everybody can see that better now. So I thought we could go line item by line item, talk about the number I have there. We can look at the quattro or the QuickBooks reports and see how we're doing. And you pretty much already have this in a hard copy that you guys got in your data packet. So when we start with the 250,000,
what page are we on?
I would go to the back when they start looking landscape instead of portrait. So go like six up from the bottom. Yeah, page 1 of 6.
Okay.
The last 6 pages of your packet.
Well, we don't have the first 3 columns.
Well, that's okay. You don't really know. Just saying. Well, this gives you your spread. Then you can go ahead and use.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Budget. Then I would use the 1, 2.
And I got it on
page five. Go to the fifth page of the budget. That'll probably be your best one to look at. Because that's the one that's going to give you what was it in 23, what was it in 24, what was it in 25, and what did we say in 26. And then as we talk about each line item, you can look up here for the spread. Because what you really care about, what I really care about, is this part right in here where we start with the approved budget and then any changes we might want to make. I'm just going to put them into this next column. So if we start with the 250,000 item first, that's your commercial voice leases. So now I'm going to come over into my QuickBooks.
I just asked if you were going to keep myself in the next meeting.
Please ask for being record.
Point of information. Are you going to present this at the next meeting, or does the public have to sit through this twice today?
That's all I wanted to know, if you're going to do this next meeting or not.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure. That would be a question to ask.
Sure, it won't be the same detail.
It'll be the same stuff then. I don't need to.
No, it's not going to be the same stuff. This is it. This is the only meeting we're going to do that's the review.
So the other agenda item is just to take action.
If we want action, yes. This is where we're going to actually do the work. I just needed to get it, but I've been using it all morning. I had it hidden behind here. We're ready to go. So here we are in, we're going to talk about our $250,000.
Yeah. Good job.
Last fiscal year. Okay, so here's the first one. This has our profit and loss on it. Again, you have to go like this and go like this to make it bigger. So we come over here to our hoist leases, and we see that we're getting $24.50 a month. You can see that I have $208.33 a month. So in reality, I could make this be $24,500 times, $294,000. So that means I should add $44,000 here, right? On my hoist leases, what do you think? That's what I'm showing you, my hoist leases.
Can you print out the profit and loss for us so we can not do the back and forth and do it efficiently?
This would be efficient. We're gonna rip down here and you guys can see what's up there on the screen, right? And am I not going back and forth? Can we not see that? Control bigger. Okay, so you can go print it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the July to September.
Okay.
What do we need? Six, seven of them, eight of them?
Okay.
So that's how I feel about my first line item. We'll go to the next line item. The commercial leases. It says 500,000. Right now in our commercial leases, we're doing 30,000 times 12 is 360,000. And then if you look at this report here, additional revenues, we did 100,000, 21,000. So I feel like I can't make any changes to my commercial revenue. It is what it is. And we expect it to be more, right? Because, well, no, that's commercial revenues. That's not the shrimp boat people. Let me come back over here. So I'm not changing anything on my commercial leases. 40,000. The one thing I do care about on here is the $75,000. Annie, you asked about the $75,000 and why I did it so high. Again, if I'm coming back to this report, I'm looking here. Poundage fees were $152,000, $96,000. Last year, they were $47,000. I averaged the three of them, and I came up with $75,000. That seemed like a good number to pick because we're supposed to have a good craft season this year. If I come and I look at what's actually happened, it's not crab season yet. So there's nothing I can compare it to. Are you guys comfortable keeping it at 75?
Well, your commercial leases are over what the actual. So July was 30,000, but on here it's 40,000. And August was 30,000, but on here it's 45. So your projected commercial leases are over. So that should account for any additional poundage we make.
No, commercial leases is not our hoist leases.
Right, under that, it says hoist leases, $20,833. Under that, commercial leases, $40,000. On the profit and loss statement, hoist leases, $24,540, and commercial leases, $29,989. So on this landscape one, it's budgeted at $10,000 more than we got for July, and in August it's budgeted for $15,000 more than we received.
I was confused on that. I was trying to keep up.
So our commercial leases were budgeting well over what we're receiving.
The commercial leases are that high because you see the line above it says commercial fees additional?
Yes.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there because we combined it all. So you have to take the commercial fees additional. She's about to give you these reports.
Well, that makes it confusing because it's not matching it.
Of course. The problem was the book in June, we did have a good review of the 24-25. We have since gone through and made sure that everything that belongs in lease is in lease and everything that belongs in additional is in additional. So now we know by looking at the reports. If I come over here, I'm going to change these dates to be fiscal year to date. Well, let me do that a different way. Again, if you're looking at that one report, because this is now a good 2025. That column next to the approved budget, where it says QuickBooks online balance 630 of 25, those are good numbers. So we had 370,000 in commercial leases and 100,000 in additional. So that's 3,477 is what we had last year, and I've picked up 500,000.
I'm just pointing out that the numbers aren't matching. I hear what you're saying, but a profit loss has it on two different line items. You said you've merged it on this. It's just confusing.
That's right. And I'm bringing it to your attention that it's relative, and I am going to break it out now that I have the numbers. I didn't have it at the time when I had to get this together for you. I'm just talking about line item by line item. I'm not necessarily talking about the spread. I really just care about the total. Come back over to here. I really just care about this total, and do I want to make any changes? These are the two columns that I really care about. Am I making any changes to the 500,000? I don't think so, because I now have done a good review of your 24-25 year. We had 477,000 there. We expect that we have a better year this year because we're going to bring more revenue generation in, et cetera. So I think my 500,000 is a good number.
Sure, yes.
So I'm leaving that alone. Coming over to my utilities. This is a good number here. We had only 21,000 in utilities, and I have 30,000. I think maybe I should take about, utilities are not, I think I should take $5,000 off of that line item just to bring it closer to what we had last year, just to be safe, because we're kind of trying to do worst case scenarios, right? So I'm going to say minus 5,000 there.
How come there's no commercial storage?
That's going to probably come down in another section.
Oh,
there we have storage down below. Freezer rental. We have the approved budget was 7,992, and the online is from the previous year was 9,000. If I look at what we have, the report that Christina just gave you, and I take 3 months worth of freezer rental, we're doing 666, and I believe that is the number I have. 666 is the number I'm spreading all the way across. So I think 7992 is a good number. I'm coming over to this poundage figure. I feel like I want to leave that at 75 because we're supposed to have good crabbing season, right? And if I look at the other 3 years.
My bigger question, and why you probably should leave it like that, is are we going to receive all those poundage fees we haven't received yet?
It sounds like
we're working on it.
Yeah, it sounds like we are because
Pacific Choice is always late, and I think when you bill them, they'll pay us, and Peter's going to pay around the 20th of October, it sounds like.
Right, so we've got two big ones coming in.
Two that I only know about. I don't know anybody else if they're in the rears. Hopefully we do. We should. I mean, we will receive them. It's just we have to bill them, and we have to say their lease is in jeopardy, and that's what we've had to do before. Pacific Choice paid us a huge amount last year all at once, and that's the way they've always been. I don't know why. They're hard, you know, that way forever.
Receivable is one of the things we're working on right now. We have identified a number of different accounts that we're about to go after, so I think that we're going to expect some money here in the next 30 days that was from last year that we should have got that we'll get into this year. So I think that will help us in the cash flow situation. So general consensus, we're leaving 75?
It's good to me.
Okay. Equipment rental is just a small little amount. No insurance fee. We normally get about 40,000 on the no insurance fee, but we've passed that new policy that within a year they've got to get insurance, right? So that's why I did the 30,000 instead of the 40,000 that we would normally get, assuming that's going to go down all the time.
How many vessels do we have that approach the office of the insurance policy? They're either going to be paying no insurance fee, Mr. Radwinker?
How many have
approached us? It's going to take a while to get the insurance or the.
When was the due date for them to get insurance? Is it the first of the year?
But they were given a year.
I thought we gave 12 months.
Yeah, a year.
Do you know, Christine?
Okay. I think most of those vessels are going to come within compliance. So we may want to lower that 30,000.
Bring it down to 20 grand?
I think that'd be more conservative. Yeah. That's being optimistic that most of the vessels are going to supply their own insurance.
Okay. But we gave them a year to do that, and it just happened a month ago. So I would think that it wouldn't really go down until next year, July.
Kind of the deadline.
Yeah.
They'll probably leave it.
Leave it. Yeah.
So that's why I already did 10.
Okay,
so the event sales, if we do one crab fee, you've heard Alicia is very interested in doing events. I think we should be looking at events. So 1500 is not much. I know that we're not going to meet that. We'll be under budget. But all we need to do is do one or two events in the year successful, and that will cover that 1500. Permit fish sales, again, is something it's small, and do we meet that? We were 1,050 last year. Key fob sales probably shouldn't have anything. We did that new security gate thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should we be selling new key fobs? That
permits for fish sales, you had 1,200. What'd you say you had?
We were 1,050 last year, and I did $100 a month.
When do you think the fillet station is going to be able to get completed, Mike?
With Josh Mims.
Yeah. I think he's out of it now.
Yeah, so Mike Barr and I have been working the past week or so. We're really focusing on NoBiz, which is this small business development agency in California to sort of, they have what's called a regional investment initiative. We get funding from them to do a multi-port strategy for fish fillet stations.
And that's also the main agenda today.
Yeah. Mike will have that report on that. And so that's kind of our, okay. We're going to use them to sort of pick up.
So we'll learn when that's going to be at that time. All right. Because that'll change that number. I think fish, that would go up if we get the fillet station going.
And we just started doing that board so they can advertise their sales. So when the people come to the thing, that also should help that.
Okay.
I think based on your current P&L, you've been already raising because you projected 100 a month and this is showing 150. So.
Yeah, but I think it'll go down in those winter months. So, but given all of the things that we've just talked about, you want to go up to what, 1,800? At 600?
I
think so. Okay, so key fob sales, with this new system being put in place, are we going to be doing key fobs?
When's that, I've been asked, but when's that going to come into effect?
The giant mess.
Yeah. Are we going to get
it? Well, we approved it, probably. Right, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Nobody's got a key fob. Number, everybody's wondering when it's going to be.
Okay, so when they do that, we will start having key fob sales.
Well, that's what I'm asking. When is that? I mean, in order to budget it, we have to know if we're going to even get it or not.
And it's
if we go another,
bunch of us already have it.
I know. That's why the guys that people
okay,
have
so
them.
We need
and
to get on that. I hear it. Okay, I'm going to leave it at 600 now, assuming that we're going to get that, and then people are going to need key fobs. It's an inconsequential line. Late payments, you can see that it was $47.90, it's $4,500. Is what I went with, so that's less. And what does it look like now?
It's on target for 48.
For 48, so I'm going to leave it low. I'm going to leave it at $4,500 so we can be better than budgeted. Launch permit fees, we did $16,750 last year, $15,000 is what I have this year. Launch permit fees, so we did pretty well here. I'm assuming launch permit fees don't do well in the winter, right? So I'm feeling good about my $15,000 there. The laundry sales, I think we're way over on. And we're getting, basically, that's going to go away, we hope, right, if somebody else is doing the RV park. So I'm thinking maybe I'm going to do like a minus 700 there.
Yeah.
So a total of 5?
Yeah. The little board fees, $833 a month, I think is what I'm doing there. And we have little board fees, $960, and we've been doing $720 the last couple. But I would think that staying the same as I have 10,000, right?
So
that's 833 a month.
So you take off 400.
And we're doing 720 right now. But it right now is when it's going to go down. Is or live aboard? Do they stay? How does live aboard work?
Living aboard.
I don't know if they move off the boats in the winter more, or I don't know that.
Okay. So it's about $100 less, so maybe I should go down to 8,400.
84?
Yeah. So I'm going to say minus 1,200 there.
That seems legitimate.
1,600.
Minus, yes.
Yep.
Okay. Mobile crane rental. Last year it was 74. We won't really know it until the crab season, right?
Well, between now and crab season, all the shrimpers will be hoisting their gear off the boat. So it'll probably go up in the next month or two, but then it'll be non-existent until next spring.
Right.
Pretty much. Not totally non.
But it should be, if we're going to have a better crab season, are we going to have more mobile crane usage?
No. No, the crane is for hauling big equipment off the boat, like the net reels and the doors and the big, big, heavy equipment. And that's only pretty much done twice a year. although, you know, there is small usage throughout the year, but the main use is in the fall to switch over to go crabbing, and in the spring to switch from crabbing to shrimping and dragging again. So those are your two peak uses.
Okay, so we should stay consistent with last year.
I think so, yeah.
And then, okay, just out of curiosity, what could we do those other years? We were 98 and we went down to 74. So we'll stay consistent there. Okay, storage revenue. We're doing 28, 24, 23 now, but storage revenue, I have it at 3,000. 3,000 a month is what I had it at. And right now we're doing 24. And
now I was wondering about that. You know, we don't have nearly the pots stored in the parking lot this year as we did last year. I mean, I think it's great, but I know that revenue had to gone way down.
Okay, so
because last year we had
2,500 times 12. Do 30,000 then instead of 36?
No, because you're. I think that extra $6,000 you're accounting for pot storage during crab season. So this number is going to go up during crab season for the few guys who don't move their stuff out.
So then we'll
leave it at 36. Now, there is no fee until we go fishing.
Right, and so there's always like usually that first section of the solar panels where people keep it for the 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now we're doing 28, 24, 23, and those are all going to stay the same, but then they're going to go up higher for 5 months.
Should add, I'm guessing, another 1,200 a month for a few months.
For a few months. On top of the 3,000?
Yeah, because you'll keep everything in the storage yard, generally, and then you'll add 200 a month for each crab pot space after the opener. So the guys that store their pallets there or extra pots, that's $200 a month of space.
Okay, so what are you telling me? You want to leave it at 36 then? Not add any?
No, I don't. No.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I was going to say lower it, but I'll agree with leaving it the same.
So. Okay. So now we're going to go into utilities for the marina. We're doing 15, 13, 15. The utilities go a lot higher when the crabber or the crabbers
power,
right?
Electric?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, it does go up.
So we got 30,000 and we did 30,000 the year before, and the year before did 44 2 years ago. So I'm just staying with what we did last year, and we'll do better because we're going to have a better season.
Yeah. Well, then there'll be more boats. Are you seeing people renting slips for the... Not at all, huh?
Seeing less.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that line yet, but that's true on that one. Work dock usage, that's just a minimal thing. Surcharge and admin fees. We're not really there yet. 3,800, 3,500.
Where are we at now?
Doing surcharge admin fees. That's like a drop all account. And I maybe went high on that.
I got 300 straight across.
Exactly. So that's given us 3,600. And that was just keeping consistent with what we did before. But I think maybe we'll go down a little bit. Just to, again, do worst-case scenario. So I'm going to go down 1,200 on that one because it's a catch-all. That's
like, you are going down 1,200?
I'm going to go down 1,200 on that because that's my contingency.
So that's going to be 2,400?
Yeah. Harbor fees, 2,616.
What are harbor fees now? What those are? Is that like temporary mortgage or a
minute? Yeah, I don't know.
I
want to get over to that. It's not letting me get over to it. There it is. Okay. Thank you. Let's look at the harbor fees.
It's not home fee. It's not on the so I don't know. Oh. And there were random one-time fees last year.
Another one of those drop-all kind of things, yes.
Need to somewhere with the chart. part of the fees and the wayfinding sign fees. That's typically what falls into that category.
What is it?
The charter boat fees and the wayfinding sign fees.
Oh.
Well, there's no number on the P&L you just gave us for this.
Yeah, they're billed in June, every year, just in June. So you're saying it's not on my...
So what's the forecast for June billing then at this time?
Harbor...
We have two charters at this time.
Harbor fees carrying an additional. So there was 3,000 here.
So that is charter boats. Huh? That's all charter boats?
Mm-hmm. And the wayfinder signage, is that what she said? That probably the signs of the wreck in?
Oh, and revocation fees. Yeah, that's what that says.
So those are a drop off. The revocation fees are.
What are revocation fees?
Either we give people if we have to revoke them for non-payment or for breaking rules.
Or for breaking rules. Okay, well, what do you think? I feel like I should do 1,200 there.
Instead of 36?
Yeah.
What's the charter boat fee with our current rate for that?
There's two boats that you... Back over here.
That'll tell you too much. I think there's just two. So there's the Brendel and there's the one for the Harry, which is mine. Okay.
Turbo feet, where's those?
You know, it's going to be the same category. It shouldn't be the 2616, but it should be for June. Is that
all about it? Didn't June had anything in it?
Where is it? Where is it?
Yeah. Not bad. If we don't know that one, we're going to come back to that. But this one looked like it was revocation fees, mostly those revocation fees.
And we've caught up with that? So you want to just... We've said drop it down.
Drop it down. Yeah, I want to go down to 1,200. So I'm going to say minus 24 there. Non-taxable labor fees. Again, that's just a drop off. So I'm leaving that one the way it is. Here's the slip rentals. This is the one. If I come back over to here and we go to slip rentals, 564 is what we did last year. And I'm bring it across here. Slip rentals, 53,000, 37,000, 29,000. And what did we have so far this year? 39, 29, and
15.
So
85. Wait a minute. You got recreational slip rentals?
I think everybody.
Or slip rentals
more. It says recreational, but everybody's in that.
It really should be broken out into a recreational and a commercial for future.
Yep.
It needs to be different categories.
Are they paying the same as the commercial now per foot?
I think so.
We'd have to adjust the ordinance code. We could do that. I think we've already started working on a few meetings and. We haven't really talked about the fees that much, but I mean, I have some concerns about the competition with Perkins.
Well, no, I'm not complaining about it. I mean, I was against it, but I kind of think that it's probably, I don't know. Anyway, it should be broken down. It should be separated. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know the difference, too.
So
they are paying different.
Last year, slip rentals, mortgage, was 120 grand 3 months in, and we're only 85 grand in. Now, we had the tsunami in there. Did that affect?
That didn't change anything.
No, that didn't change anything.
No.
That probably depends on when they pay. I pay like every January, but other people pay in February, right? And other people pay different times of the year.
But I'm taking the same period of last year to the same period this year.
Yeah, I don't know why it's.
And we're down a lot.
Might have been from the lack of boats being here last year or something.
Lack of boats last year. Last year they had more than we had this year.
Yeah.
We have 85 this year. For the same period last year, it was 120.
I think you need to drop it by 150,000 based on the change month over month. In these 3 months, it should come down 150,000 over the year.
Oof. So if we go back to these other years.
I mean, look at how much variation there is month to month and see if there's just some really weird patterns of people paying like
river. Sure. If I come back over here and we look at this. That works. Okay. Mortgage 53, and we had 39. So in July, 40 to 53, 37 last year, 30 this year, 30 last year, 15 this year. Anybody good at math?
Oh, yeah.
I come over here and I say 85,000. Or what did I say? 130 divided by 85. 1.52. 85 divided by 130. We're at 65%.
I kind of want to see, like, if you look at some of the past years, if there's a lot of variation, like from month to month, if it's just kind of irregular, maybe they're just experiencing some irregular payments that might pass out.
July and September were 13.5, and August was 8. So if you kind of just rough squeeze in the middle, that's like easy 10.5,
12
months. And even if you only went down 10 or 10.5 a month, and it's a better crab season, I think that's still much closer than right now.
That we're at. Let me take a look though at what Mike was suggesting. /6/23/24 to 7/1/23. And then we come look at that same line item here. 30,000, 17,000, 34,000. But then it gets quite bigger over here. So actually, that makes a good thing there that you asked about that, right? Because these numbers were less. This is the 24 ending year, 24 mortgage.
I don't have 24.
Here you have, in this one report, though, you do have, what was the total for the year for 23? What was the total for 24? The total for 25? Now I'm just showing you months within a year. And so we had 30, 14, 3, 4, 5, 60,000 there. Right, well, sorry, 30, 60, 70, 80,000. 80,000. So that's comparable to with what we're having this year, right? We have 85,000 this year. This is 80,000. This is the year in 24. Year in 24 mortgage at 622,000.
That's what I thought the yearly mortgage was.
So, and if we look at this one report, you can see your mortgage in 23 it was 547, in 24 it was 622.
So it was between
525 and 564.
Yeah, I think we're getting
some
observation.
Yeah, so I think 556 is a good number.
Well, we're 35 down already.
Yes, but if you take this, if you take 24 as a year and look at those same 3 months, those same 3 months in 24 are the same as our 3 months of this year. And they still had more in 24. 24 had 547, and I'm going for 560.
That number is good. I know that's a good number. I just wish.
I think it's just some variation in the longer we see the money.
Because it's been that way forever. 550 to 600,000 was what the mortgage was then in the target for
Yeah.
And are you going to?
And I looked at the last three years.
It's been forever. It's been 500, 600. When we got a lot of votes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we retroactively split these apart between commercial and recreational?
Not going back. We're going forward.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm spending so much time already on making sure I've got those good numbers at an annual.
Let's leave this, but could we make a note that in the next year or the future we could get a separation?
We're definitely going to do it for 25-26.
Okay.
We're definitely doing it for 25-26.
Okay, I understand.
Just not going back.
That's I don't want to go back. It's just what we'll have to do. But in the future, we should have that split up.
Definitely.
Especially when they pay differently.
So we're gonna leave
they
that
pay the same amount per foot, I would be okay with it. When they pay a different amount per foot, then.
Okay. So park revenues, 15.5 is what we're showing for monthly there, but I don't think that's what we're getting on park revenues, right? Park revenues. So we're good. 15,300. How do we look at this, right? When is the other guys coming in? What did you guys think about the RV proposals that you did, Amy?
I spoke with one of the two companies yesterday, and Dan and I are meeting again Friday. I'd like to get it done as soon as possible, which may be a special meeting.
What do you think of the meeting, Brad?
If at all possible, I'm hoping we could do something by November 1, but I'm only half the ad hoc committee and we still need to meet again.
Yeah, and what have your feelings been with meeting him?
I don't know that we're allowed to discuss all of it right now.
Oh, we're not? Okay.
I guess what I'm looking at is, let's just take RV parks all together.
Yeah.
We're looking at revenue of $234,000. You're talking about a base of, what, $10,000? So that's only 120,000 coming in.
So my question would be, when we're looking at on the top line item, it says commercial use. Should we leave a separate line item for the RV parks as an RV park lease then? Or are you going to just lump it into commercial leases?
We're actually probably going to put it up there, right? Because if they're going to be a lease like anybody else, and we're not going to have this whole section here. What I'm trying to determine is when do we stop getting the rent monies from those people? That $15,000 a month that we're getting in for those people.
I hear what you're saying there. I'm just if we say there's a base rate of, you know, I said $7,000, but then they have all this percentage and stuff, that might still be an accurate number. I don't know. You know, there's $7,000 a month. But they're going to obviously go over that because we have 15,000 here for the permanent residents. So you'll get a percentage off that. You know, I don't know the contract language yet, but I would anticipate 120 grand a year for RV parks.
And right now I have it as a total of 235,000. Altogether, right?
We have
the first line, the 2,800. Those are the people that are there stationary. And then down below where you got the 2,809, that's your guest rentals for 42,000. That's the RV part, people coming in their RVs.
Well, if I was planning as a government entity and not private, I would say that we could get a lease done probably by first of the year then and not November 1, which... In private, you'd get it done right away, but this is government, so
every
2 weeks, January 1, we'll see that. So these numbers could stay November, December, October.
I don't have a problem with the special meeting for generating revenue at all. I don't think that we would be in favor of that. It would take to get them on soon.
And you're talking about that 7,000. You don't think we're going to get a 10,000 base? We haven't voted on any of that yet, right?
Nothing's been brought to the board. There were some communication issues, so I had to reach out yesterday to get things moving again. Dan and I will meet Friday. We've already discussed that. So we've done follow-up.
But even with that would be, and do they start paying right away? Wasn't there something about they don't start right away because they need time to get going?
That's all part of the contract negotiations.
Yeah.
So, but if you're looking at a full calendar year, and we have, I don't know, grand opening is probably going to be April, May, because that's the asphalt plant doesn't open back up till April.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't know any of the details here.
Yeah, I would guess, you know, not knowing anything as far as that, you know, or what's going to happen to those RV parks, we probably should leave this alone for what we're generating and be safe with that. And hopefully we will be doing way better than that.
Well, this should be our base number.
The base number. So we know what to get this next year.
If we sign up for a contract that pays us better, a lot less than what we are already making, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Yes,
leave it.
Exactly.
So leave it alone.
And then not only that, I'm assuming we're not really doing this until the financial meeting. We're not going to actually do these proposals until the financial meeting, because by then I do have my quarter done. And I have better information, then my audit will already be turned in at that time. And that gives us time to, right, we do all this talking today, and then in 2 weeks' time, we make the decision on what to do. And maybe by then, you've got answers more on the RV thing and go from there.
I just think that whole area of RV park revenue should be just left alone.
Okay.
If those are real numbers, we should just leave it alone and expect to do better.
Yeah. And I agree with that, because my alternative proposal was that to meet that minimum guarantee is that maybe we hold on to the permanent tenants' income until there's that, you know, during that pause period while they're doing construction, we hold on to that revenue from those permanent tenants.
Yeah.
Kind of cover down.
So if we're looking at any lost revenue, it would be in the rental area, not in the park operations, which is where our lease people are. Okay. Gift shop sales are pretty consistent, so I'm not doing anything there. I had to leave a lot of these line items in. I left them in there only because there was numbers in 23 and 24, so we don't have any numbers in there. Cost of goods sold, didn't really do anything with that. Ads notices. Is my bar on the line there?
No.
We have. Are we paying for any of these RFPs? Because this ads and notices is mostly about RFPs were published in the paper or someplace, so it costs us money. But I haven't seen anything. I know you're posting them all. When am I going to get a bill for that? And there's so many RFPs, it makes me feel like I haven't budgeted enough. But if we're not paying for these services.
Nothing's been run through the paper, right? Mike Barr said everything he'd done so far was free.
We talked about doing the paper was pretty expensive.
Yeah. So at this point, I feel good about my $3,600, but with all the RPs you're doing, I feel like I might get hit for an easy $5,000 there, considering in the years before we had big expenses there.
Some of that was, I think, was all of the evictions, right?
Really?
All the court notices for all that?
Yep. Okay.
This is ads and notices?
Ads and notices, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't really do much ads and notices. It's really only...
I mean, we could. We have lots of staff positions that should be...
Well, when you're in a negative budget, I don't know why... We haven't got the payroll. We'll get the payroll. Fuel expenses were pretty consistent. We're getting it down here to audit. 7,000, 11,000. We only did 3,000 last year, and I did 3,600 for this year. And right now, there's a lot. Tell us about the fuel. We did an analysis on the fuel today, and we're doing like that.
It's comparable to last year for the months of September, October, and November. It goes up because they're trying to put fuel in cans to run the mobile cranes.
Yeah. Looking at the maintenance and repairs, you know, we just had some work done on one of the older vehicles. We've talked about how many vehicles that we have. And maybe we shouldn't be fixing the old ones, right, and spending any money on that, but except for the orange thing. What do they call that one?
The platform has to be repaired.
And I don't know, some the big orange truck is the one that they use a lot, and we want to keep that one in working order.
That's the plan, then.
Right? Okay, so 3,600 seems like that's a good number. Truck and lease. Okay, so the one thing about this truck and lease thing here, I put 3,750 all the way through. Those leases are going to come up in April, and they have lump sum amounts that are going to be due, maybe about 40 grand. We can refinance those. I've already contacted the lease company, and so we can refinance those for another 2 years. And so that would bring that fee way down in the last 2 months. So that's if we keep the vehicles we have and then just pay them off over a two-year period. Maybe that's a good way to go. Mike has talked about, can't we get electrical vehicles? And he's given me some information on that. So maybe by the next meeting or the meeting after that, we can talk about getting electric vehicles, which would take away all the expenses. And it ends up being about the same amount. 3750. I don't know. I don't have that information yet. But
we're hoping to realize some fuel savings, but we'll do the math and if it works out.
Exactly.
And there's some incentive programs for like free chargers and stuff. So we've got some homework to do, but if it pencils out, we'll do it. If it doesn't, then we won't.
A free chargers, meaning before Tim tried to bring in somebody to do an electrical charging station.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the DC fast chargers. I'm talking about the slow chargers, the AC. So that'd be like when you connect to the buildings and stuff.
I think that would be a huge cost analysis that could be done on a quick Excel. But it sounds very wasteful to have to start out with a new electric car when you've spent so much to do a lease that you're nearing. And then there's also the surplus auction. I didn't see an item on here for that. You know, if we have all these trucks and we only need the flatbed, and there's the other old trucks that we're not using, and we're going to keep the new leases, we really need to look at a surplus sale. And then there's all kinds of surplus around the harbor and monetizing that.
Yes, I had a discussion with the auditor yesterday about what kind of fixed asset listing do we have to compare to when we do a physical inventory of what we have sitting around. And there really isn't one. When he took over there, they didn't have anything. So all he knows is what's been added since 22. And I imagine if it's been added since 22, we would want to keep that.
So in the past, we've done a surplus sale with the city to save money. So we could affect their schedule and try and piggyback some tire surplus on them.
Yep. But we need to get physical.
But we need to make that decision by next April when these come due. I mean, it's something that we should work on next spring.
We're on it.
To do a surplus. I'd like to do that.
Okay.
I mean, I thought when we did this, I thought these leases were kind of a temporary thing because we had such horrible vehicles, we couldn't even get across the parking lot. We had to do something immediately, but we should have a long-term solution other than leasing, I think.
And it seems like these four vehicles that we have on lease are all in good condition, right? I haven't seen any maintenance issues or anything like that. So
they're brand new.
Yeah. Well, 4 years, actually, old.
Yeah.
And still in good condition. Bank fees, merchant fees, and that whole area. Quick work payment fees. We have a couple issues that we need to deal with that. It seems like Thomas Zigraf owns the merchant account. And so we need to get it out of his name and get it into our name. We're getting all the money, so there isn't a problem there. But then that comes into how do we save money? That might be an area where we can save money. They now have ways where we don't have to pay the merchant fee and we push it off onto the people who are using credit cards to do it or things like that. So this is something we're looking at, but this is 2 or 3 months down the line.
You're saying charging a fee for the credit card in our office?
Yeah, well, if people are using credit cards, are they using merchant
fees? Well, I mean, I think mine's an auto pay through a credit card. So, and there's no fee. We're not charging any fee.
Yeah, but
so that's why the $500 is what it costs us to process credit cards in a given year.
Yeah, 913, so that's really low.
Actually, you have to take that QuickBook payment fees is also in there. Oh. So the merchants, those fees aren't being properly recorded yet because they come from so many different ways. But this whole area is pretty much all about merchant fees. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Well, I know everybody's charging credit card.
Exactly. And we're not, and we should be. So that's an area we're looking at. So we're leaving that as it is right now, and there may be some cost savings that we can get there in 2 or 3 months when we finally figure out.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Dues. Come back over here.
I think it makes sense for the dues. One of them was the CSDA. I've used it a lot. I've taken a lot of classes, but I'm not sure that we're realizing the benefit of it. People aren't using it.
What is it?
California Special Districts Association.
Fabulous organization. There's a wealth of information there. I like the idea of legal assistance, but Mike has told me not to refer to them because you only get so much legal assistance. Isn't that right, Mike?
So what is that cost? What's that cost?
Like $7,000.
$10,000, I thought it was.
Huh?
We paid $7,000 or $8,000 last year for that.
It's listed, I think it's like $6,000 something.
It provides ethical training, harassment training. It's all part of that package. There's everything for a new commissioner or current commissioner. There's so many webinars on there. As well as a forum. We have job postings. You can post jobs on there. You can ask questions. Reach out to any special district through it. But it's not being used. It's
I got it.
Worth the money we're spending.
So what do we have in here? This has got the new book integration. So dues would be part of the... I know you guys can't see that, but I got to be able to see it so I can.
So we're on dues?
Yeah, I'm looking at dues. I'm trying to get you a list up on the screen that'll tell us what were all the things that were in there. Where did the big money come from? If I come over here into dues and I go to this slide right in here.
We have cut back dramatically on dues.
Yeah.
From 62 to almost 62,000 to 10.
I don't know where did the, we used to give the chamber 10,000, was that dues? Or?
Nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't anything.
Okay, so we've got Carpenters Union, $720, but that's deducted from their paychecks. We've got journal entries, that's the other side of that entry. HR to Go's got some dues in there. That was a reimbursement due. There we go, $6,850 is what went to the special districts, $180 to the Del Norte Chamber is all we're doing now. That was last year's.
So the chamber is in there?
Only for the $180, the normal chamber due.
Oh.
Now, I think that other money you did was more of an advertising.
I thought that was an advertising.
Yeah.
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 So that's how it was. Harbor's dues was $1,700 going to the Harbor Masters Association.
Which we didn't pay this year. We're not going to pay this year.
Are we not paying it this year? That was 8/20/24. Looks like we did then. Okay, so then in dues then, so we're going to stick with the CSDA, or are you saying you don't think that's worth
if we don't use them, then we're going to have to pay individually some program for all the training that we are required to do. And again, I don't know what those fees would be. Just asking.
I think we should pick.
Now it's all online. We used to have somebody come and gave us the classes. But I see the last couple of years, it just popped up on my Harbor email that I have to complete a course. And then I complete it, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, that's what they...
Is that part of that, what we're talking about here?
So it's California Special Districts Association. It's designed specifically for special districts. And they are the government agency that you go to for all things special districts.
I would think it's important to stay compliant. So
yeah.
It's costing us some money there.
Okay, we've been in. Outside services, $30,000 is what I put in there. And so outside services used to have a lot of grant stuff in it. This is just the outside services that we would be using for us here.
Such as?
Yeah, I'm going to come right over that? Here. So your plumber's in here.
Ooh.
Okay, now I can go like this.
Okay,
make
yeah.
This bigger. Right? Keep going. Another way.
Probably yeah, Ace Hardware. Plumbers.
So your advanced security, affordable tow, the city of Crest City. Here's a big one. Who's that? Delmar County Clerk. So that's where you put your election costs. There is no election this year, so we don't have that.
Really? I think Roger's steamrolling ahead. Might want to
yeah, but we're gonna ask you.
No, actually, it might be three.
130,000.
No, we're gonna tell him he ain't doing that. He's got to roll it into next year's election.
Yeah.
Because if it's rolled into next year's election, if he's gonna do it, because we can't pay 130,000.
No, we're not.
He doesn't get to decide. He gets to see
him all
ahead, and there's a time window.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but he can plan, right? He's got to come up. First of all, he's got to come up with 3,600 votes.
32.
Okay. Still 3,000. That's half of the. We only have 7,000 people that live here.
No. 26,000 people live here.
Oh, that's true. The county is 26.
12,000 people are registered to vote. Out of 12,000 people, 7,000 actually vote.
Okay, so there you go. So I'm not anything going to be for any special election. But what are the big things? So these are Pape material handling. That's some big dollars being sent there. Kirkland, we're not doing Kirkland anymore. So my 30,000 maybe is high. But I think that we want to do a better job of maintaining our harbor. And that's why I left it high, is because we got rid of Kirkland and everybody else, but we wanted a high maintenance budget.
So part of this maintenance was Kirkland?
In prior years, when you looked at that, if you look at your report that gives you the prior year stuff, and we get down to the repairs and maintenance. I'm sorry, not repairs and maintenance. Contractor operations, the 3,600. We did 111,000 in 23, 113,000 in 24. In 25, we did 84, but 84,000 of those other numbers were what Kirkland was charging, right? There were at least 75,000,
yep.
And we're not doing them anymore.
So based on this quarterly, we're on track to do 8,800, and unless we have an actual plan for using outside services, you know, there's no maintenance plan, there's no, none of that's happening yet. So it's going to be the gates.
Yeah, the gates will come under, under that. Right? It's all part of, we wanted to put at least 50,000 towards maintenance this year. And so I think as we go down, we're going to find that I've allotted at least 50,000 for maintenance, which we didn't do before.
We only have 30.
But we're not down in the maintenance area yet. This is the outside contractors, so that would be the plumbing people. And actually, I think a lot of our plumbing has to do with the RV park, doesn't it?
Right.
And so when we don't have the RV park anymore, that's not there.
We had issues with the fish companies, too, but I think we're gone.
We have all bait shop now, right?
Cool.
Okay, so I like my 30,000 there. I want to keep that. Auto insurance is 24,000. The liabilities insurance, this is without the 181,000, and I'm still not putting it in there yet. Perhaps by, you know, that Mike is working on an insurance quote for another carrier to see if we can get it. It's very detailed, very technical. And it's a great exercise because we probably haven't done an application like that in a really long time. We've probably just gone with the same insurance guy. He's just renewed.
Right.
So this is a really good exercise to go through and get all that technical information, get it out to another person to see what if they will. I know you say they'll do tsunamis. I'm just dying to see if they will. So we're definitely working on that.
Well, we have to get it out. I mean, it's been 10 months.
It's very technical stuff. This isn't something you can just do and just whip it out. It's very technical. It's going to take some time. And we're working on it. We have it on our list, and we know the priority of it.
Yeah, it's not.
Workers' comp. The good news about the workers' comp is, you know, we got our workers' comp through Chris this time, through Redwood Levitts, and our rates went down from like 7-something to 5%. So we're going to have a huge saving in the workers' comp area.
Even 40?
I'm leaving 40, but I think by the next meeting, we just finished the workers' comp audit last week or 2 days ago.
And you said on the liability, the 153, you're saying you're going to leave that there, but we're hoping to get this policy you're working on, and it hopefully will be less.
What I'm saying is that when I presented this budget in June, I asked you to not pay $181,000. Reserved that into our LAIF fund. I'm hoping that's our one answer to be profitable or to break even at the end of the year, is we don't have to pay that. At a minimum, maybe we get into 6 months before we absolutely have to have that, or they're going to put us in default. So we will have saved $90,000 by not doing that. And we'll find out when we get this about whether they'll work with us or not. That's a huge question mark for us of how are we going to be affected with that. The insurance that you see there is all the insurance that we have, which, by the way, the bond got kicked back from the county. We need to get with the attorney, because the bond that we have and have always had and have always used for you guys is not a commissioner's bond. It is our liability bond that we've done all the time. I know, and the lawyer told us that the other day, right? But this is all we've ever done. But now they're saying, no, it's got to be something else. So we're kicking it back to the lawyer to find out what that is, going back to the insurance company to find out what that is. So you guys, what does that mean? Nobody's in compliance? And never have been. All your years, 50 years, you've never been in compliance. I don't understand this.
No, that's inaccurate. Because I know that you have been in compliance before. I have a copy of your
Can I get a copy?
No, get it from, go to the county.
Go to the county?
I'm not an entity that you get copies
from. Okay, because when I look in the accounting, this is the only thing we've ever paid for. And my understanding is we pay for the commissioner's bonds, right? Is that not everybody's understanding?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? We're supposed to be paying for that. But this is the only thing we've ever paid for. And I've come back. I've looked. So I don't get it. We'll get to the lawyer and find out what we need to do and get with the insurance agent to find out about getting this bond. And I just got that yesterday. So here's where we're at on all of our insurances. I have not put the financing charge into here, Annie. I'm putting it down under the interest finance area.
I'm sorry, the what?
The financing charge on the policy, on the insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going down in interest expense. I still have the USDA interest in there because, again, my budget provides for paying our USDA payment. The only thing we were doing differently was we were going to go directly to the county and ask the county to pay it directly because we don't have the cash flow to make the payment. But we can make that request. I have the forms. All we have to do is do that request. But we may be able to make an arrangement with USDA about breaking that up into two payments. And if we do that, then do we have access to funds? Because if we don't have to make that second payment until, say, March of next year, we've just received three more quarters of TOT tax. So there's more money there. So we might be able to draw from that. And we're looking at all of that. And by the next meeting, we need to have an answer on that. So for right now, we're leaving the interest all that it is. And there you can see I'm adding the $6,500, which is the finance charge for the insurance policy.
And so that won't include any extra insurance we're going to incur for having payment late.
What payment late?
The USDA payment, the longer you wait to pay it, the higher that interest rate is?
Yes, no, I have not included any of that in there at this point. Accounting, auditing, nothing's changed there. Attorney professional services. We're at $60,000. What are we at so far this year? So we're at 14,000 so far, and we've allocated, we got 60, 72, 72 and 6. We have 78. And so far we're at, what did I say, 14? So I'm not making any changes yet there because we're hoping we're not going to be doing legal. We're doing our job here. So some people would disagree. IT services is right in line.
So I was talking to IT last week, and Microsoft is ending support for Windows 10. So some of our computers are so old they can't be upgraded to Windows 11. We haven't any money to budget for a few, like, the GS computer needs to be replaced, probably one or two other computers. We have anything in there for potential expenses?
There's a line down at the bottom that talks about capital expenditures, for which I have zero. And we'll obviously need to put some money in there when we get down to that line item.
On here, you have additional monitoring for $12,000, but on the current P&L, we haven't spent any of that.
That's right.
So what?
I'm not going to change that at all because I'm adding all those numbers together to say that's the legal. So,
we're on track right now to spend $60,000 on legal or $58,000, and the additional monitoring is for.
I'm using that instead of moving it up into the legal line item. I'm leaving it down below for right now because I don't know where money's going to get spent. But in the legal arena, we have $60,000-$78,000 already budgeted for.
Oh, right.
It would give you the freedom to use different services that are not necessarily legal, but still within that realm.
Exactly. So I'm leaving it at 78, and we're only at 15 right now, but I don't have September's legal bills in here, and I think September's legal bills are going to be quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we're at. But
okay.
We're going no legal fees, right? That's what we're struggling. We're aiming towards. Yeah, I know you laugh.
I laugh. We'll find out at the next meeting.
Yes, I guess we will. Okay, so in engineering, $20,000. So the SHN stuff that's happening at the boatyard, that's all going to be grant funded. Is that correct?
Yes.
The tsunami research. So.
Well, what I'm looking at is we only have $20,000 in engineering, and that's kind of the area where we would be using an outside service, SHN. SHN right now I see is doing the boatyard.
The disposal of the tailings is probably
Yeah, but they had like $1 million for disposal of in that report, didn't they?
No.
What was that number?
It was 200,000, right? 300,000. Yeah, but we expected the California EPA has a lot of grants and that kind of stuff, so we don't expect to pay that ourselves. And if we have to rent out the building, we can actually just like isolate just little piles of stuff outside the building. So the building itself is clean, but there's like three piles outside and we can cordon them off if we have to. But Mike Barr is gonna talk about it today. He feels confident we can get funding for that.
I come back to, we've only got $20,000 in the budget for any kind of engineering work. Is that sufficient? Or do you guys, anybody envision here spending money on a engineer that would be our expense, not covered by a grant?
A survey. I think with the survey should be HAGP also. Yeah.
Everything we've done so far has been through the grant.
That's what I'm thinking. So this is like a $20,000 that we may not use. Another one of those, we'll leave it there just in case.
So the general session, we have RFPs being issued for the buildings.
That's great. But
with that fall, would we need engineering on some of those buildings potentially?
Well, that's great. That's HAGP.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
That would be engineering.
Okay, so 1730 is what the IT services are charging us. 1730 times 20,000, and I budgeted
44,000.
So we'll just leave that as it is and know that we're over budgeted there in case anything comes up, a price increase.
I did. Renegotiate that with them about 3 months ago to get a little bit lower. And depending on if we have, we'll talk later today about the staff, maybe consolidating some staffing. I could save us some money from IT as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, office equipment leases, that's pretty much the copy machine, things like that. Office expenses, you got to run your office. Though maybe we'll have people start paying for their copies, and that'll help offset some of our copy costs. Permits and licenses.
Right now, the office expenses are set to be $4,500. We have $36.
Yeah, that's because we did a lot of things here in the beginning. Getting things done is like policy binder books and things that were one-off stuff. So we're not going to be consistently spending that kind of money.
Permits
and licenses. I'm looking at permits and licenses. What is that?
We're probably on track. I'd say you're one usually annual payment, so it's not going to be consistent across the months, right?
Exactly. I just see some big things in there. I'm just trying to figure out where they are.
That is just the housing authority permit.
Yeah, it's the
weight and measures permits.
$22,000?
It's easier.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
This is not opening. Come on.
You see the fluctuation through the year with some of these expenses, though, on a monthly.
Right. You can see the ones that do fluctuate. I did it on the spread one. You can see where it just fluctuates.
Here, I'm seeing that going up, coming down. What's the world trend?
I don't know. $22,000, is that what you think HUD would be charging?
But also the making measures that she said.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but that's not, I just did weights measures, that has to do with water power. Okay, water board, that's what it is. The State Water Resources Control Board is what the big amount is there, $25,000 on that one.
$22,000. Yeah, I think.
Okay, and subscriptions.
My question there, it looks like, is that part of QuickBooks, the subscriptions and software, or anything else?
Yeah, that's where we're going to have NewBook, DocBook, and QuickBooks.
Not that you need it.
So, before you mentioned trying to bring payroll back in-house, are you going to do that through QuickBooks and will that number go up?
The number will probably go down. We haven't gotten into the payroll section yet, and I have a section on that to talk about.
Is this number good then?
Where are we at on subscriptions and software?
Do some subscriptions. What might change there is the new book, right? If we start with those other people, that's $2,300 a couple quarters, so that's $5,000 that we might not be paying.
What's a 12-month contract?
We have a 12-month contract with them?
Mm-hmm. But again, that should expire right around their grand opener, theoretically.
Right. February is when we started with that. It is when we had our first charge to new book.
Hmm.
Okay. So that isn't helping me at all. That's uniform expenses. Not much we can do about that. Web hosting services.
On uniform here, you have 1,400. You only have 3,600 budgeted. Shouldn't it be double that then?
I don't know. I've got to figure out what's going on. Why I can't.
You need to go something out and go
and come back in. Yeah.
So subscriptions and software, we're leaving at
26.
Okay.
I was just impatient. So coming back to this, let's say, yeah, it was the State Water Resources Control Board, so that's definitely what was going on there. And I do the next line item. So Adobe, Docua, Intuit, NewBook, MarineSync. What do we pay for Zoom? We're only paying $160 a year for Zoom?
Yeah, it's witchy.
Incredible. Okay, and then uniform expense. That the reason why that is up is because we just did $483 for patrol. Patrol got so they're all wearing the same thing, huh? Is that what's going on? So that was $500. So that's why that 1 month is out of sync. We got best.
But that's still under budget.
So we got 206,529. And then go back over here. 300 a month. And 642. Yeah, if it was 39. And 47 and 47. I think what I was thinking is Rich was going to be gone, so our cost would go down.
So
we maybe add 1,200 to that.
Yep.
Okay, and our web hosting expenses.
So 48 on uniform.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did a prep before that. Yeah. So that's the same thing. That's just our website.
Mike, you were saying something about the website. There was something might increase, like because of the software.
So it won't be the website. It'll be the computer. So there's so Windows is ending support for Windows 10. So they're forcing everyone to upgrade to Windows 11. But some of the computers are so old they can't be upgraded. So we may have like 2 or 3 computers we have to purchase this year.
You're talking 1,000 a computer or 2,000?
I mean, I think for the most part, probably around 1,000. There's probably going to be one computer that is going to need to be AutoCAD capable for all the engineering stuff we're going to be doing with SysInstock and the Seawall. There might be one computer that's closer to 2,000 to either 2,000. I mean, I haven't really sat down with IT to
look at the 4,000.
Could be, yeah. And don't hold me to that because I want to talk to them and see exactly, you know, do an inventory and see how much RAM we have on each computer. I was just talking to Gavin, actually. Maybe a computer upstairs we could use, or because Gavin's using Tim's old computer right now. So we'll see what we can do, but just kind of keep that in the back of your mind that there might be a little bit of expense there.
So some of that, if it's AutoCAD covered by the grant?
I don't know. I mean,
grants don't cover that kind of expense.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll ask Mike. Maybe get creative with it. Yeah.
And so just, I'm not IT, so why do we have to upgrade? We still have Windows 7 on a computer, Windows 10, so why must you upgrade?
But if you don't, then there won't be any security patches. So basically, it just opens up us to being hacked. So, yeah, as a personal user, I mean, you're putting yourself at risk.
And it could be under maintenance.
What's it?
Could be put under maintenance. Maintaining the computers.
Yeah.
Equipment purchase.
They don't allow you to buy software. They don't allow you to buy fixed assets or anything like that. That is never covered under a grant.
Well, we'd be purchasing hardware, not software.
Yeah, they don't let you buy software and hardware. That's not a grant reimbursable expense.
I was thinking access to no tech.
So somebody retains possession of that.
How many computers did you say then?
Three.
I think probably 3. It could be between 2 and 4, but
And then once you do those, normally when you budget for a new computer, you have to think about the software, the hardware,
so
and the tech people to make it happen.
Software is covered by our contract with ICS, so don't have to worry about that. Or just the hardware.
Okay, we're into the payroll expenditure area. So here's our thought on the payroll expenditures. We haven't touched anything on that. When I came up with those numbers, we removed Rich although 50,000 of his money did get picked up in this year. We feel like this is already a skeleton crew and that we, yes, we should add people, but that we cannot afford it at this time. So we're making do with the people that we have. And if we can actually start implementing some of the things we're trying to do, we're constantly in a reactionary mode. I think if we get another 30 days, we're going to start being in a proactive mode, and all of the things that we know need to be done, we're moving forward. We can see that we're taking footsteps on all of those things. So we're not putting in budget for any new vacant items. This is only a budget for the people that we have right now. And we strongly feel that we do not want to make any cuts to our payroll. You are invested in these people. If you lose the people that are here who have all that knowledge, that would be a mistake. So we feel like we need to stick with the payroll that we have right now. Is that not correct, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing that I was looking at. You know, we've done a lot of consolidation. Obviously, the executive staff, a lot of the office staff is consolidating job duties. And the one area that I think we could improve on is Harbor Patrol, is to get them to do a little bit more administrative duties. And so I was talking to Matt. Matt just completed recently an associate's degree, and he has some interest in getting involved in the office. And so I'd like to experiment with him. We gave him the title of a corporal, you know, because he's a little more knowledge than some of the other patrol guys. And I want to have him work with Gavin and try and take on some of Gavin's duties and see how that works out. Right now, Matt's part-time, but we can give him some full-time hours. And it'd be less hours because right now Gavin's full-time. So if we take that position, which is like half-time, Harbor Patrol, make it full-time combined, we'll realize a little bit of savings that way. And I'd just like to kind of move that direction with Patrol, kind of getting them to do more admin responsibilities. I think they're kind of a little bit underutilized in my opinion. So
I think we should fire a bunch of Patrol. I don't think it's effective. I don't think it's working. I think sleeping in the parking lot's ineffective. I think folks having their electronics stolen this year proves that the inefficiency that's happening. We have gates. And we don't have enough money. I think we have too much patrol. We've added one since 21. Drive around, see them sleeping. It's not really effective. We're paying guys.
Yeah, you know, I did a couple months ago talk to some of the restaurant tenants, and you know, we were kind of considering how they felt, you know, the value was, and They really supported the patrol.
Oh, you should do a poll then, because that is not what I heard at all.
Wow.
I talk to a lot of people, and I hear the same thing, is that they're one of their biggest concerns, and what they feel the harbor really needs to address is all the theft in the harbor.
Right.
Patrol is the answer to that, but I hear you saying no.
A boat had all their electronics stolen off this summer while there was patrol here, so it's not preventing theft on boats. And the reason is that they don't know who works on a boat. So we're paying for a service where it did help. When I will admit, when patrol picked up or more authority was given back in 21, some of the riffraff around the perimeter helped, but we're paying for service when they're sleeping on the job. You can get testimony where patrol says they're on duty and there's no one to be found here.
So I called our office here multiple times in the past week, and it says press one from the Harbor Patrol. No answer.
Mm-hmm. So during the day we don't have a patrol, you know, officer staffed, so it'll go to the office if they're available, but it's really just for the evenings and the overnights. But so you're hearing negative feedback from the fishermen mostly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're not really trained.
I'm sorry, what was that?
And some of the RV park tenants.
I mean, those guys are tough customers. I mean, they.
And you can't be everywhere. Things aren't going to get stolen.
People I hear are very happy with those, you know, the presence of the security there. So, I'm in touch with a lot of fishermen.
What's the total payroll for a football year?
I mean, I'm not against cutting, But if we before we cut them, we should get the key fobs working on the docks, and then maybe think about doing it.
Well, and I think also we need to look at if training before we cut. Is it something that can be resolved through training and more oversight on what they're doing? I think there's a benefit to having a patrol in the harbor.
Yeah. Just for your general information, $20,000 is the maintenance department. It just payroll costs, not all their other. I'm just talking what their net pay, gross pay is. They have all those other benefits, but $20,000 is maintenance, and it looks like about $18,000 is patrol.
Yeah. So again, when you're kind of looking at who do I need more in the harbor? Do I need an office staff who can get the office work done, or maintenance personnel who can get that done versus security when we've added a patrol staff since 21 and.
Yeah, but security's been a huge, for the 10 years that I've been involved in the harbor, security was probably like number two on the list of things that need
it's
to happen.
It's certainly way better than it used to be. I mean, there's a lot more complications as far as bathrooms being destroyed and a lot more damage done. I mean, it's really improved. Whether it's up to the par of everybody, I'm not going to say that. It's way better than it used to be.
Well, the fact that crime is happening shouldn't be an incentive for us to get rid of any security. I think that ought to be maybe we're not doing the right stuff with our security, but I would not cut back on this end.
And then you have to look at what other harbors have got, and they're getting their electronics stolen also. So I mean, it's just the times. I mean, you just can't be there all the time to patrol every single boat. And yeah. It's too bad we have a lot of theft, but theft is on the rise everywhere. And as far as I can see, it's actually on the decrease in our harbor.
I'm
going to
move
us
on.
The last 5 years.
And we've got probably
I've never ranked this goal up 5 times like I used to, and everything, and well, it's gotten better. I mean, I've gotten stolen many times, but the last couple, 3 years, it's been really good. But there are incidences when it happens, and I don't know that you're going to prevent that always. I just really don't.
Okay, so I'm moving past payroll because I know we're going to come back to that. We're getting into repairs and maintenance, and as I said, there's 50,000 in repairs and maintenance, plus there's that $20,000 up there in outside service. So that gives us about $70,000. We've got a facilities plan, and we're looking at ways to use monies that we can use in maintenance to cover all those things. So we are moving forward in all those maintenance areas to do that stuff. So I'm not making any changes to repairs and maintenance at this time.
So when you say the facilities plan, you're talking about the
yeah.
You really want
a
lot.
Because that's all part of maintenance, right? Okay, so now I'm going on to supplies and materials because this is another area for maintenance and repairs. So not only do they have the $50,000, but they have $30,000 in supplies and materials, right? So you got the labor part of it and the...
Did you do a meeting with maintenance to discuss some of this?
We have not done anything with maintenance. It's on our list of things to do. That's why your stuff didn't get addressed yet. We just got the facilities plan this last week. I talked with them about facilities plan. We've got a number of things happening in maintenance. It's just not happening probably for another couple of weeks to where we actually start to talk with Billy being the new guy and what's his budget look like and where we're spending money and all of that. So we're in preparation for that.
Well, my understanding is he was ready to meet with you based on the numbers I've seen these from all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you've got all that information. I don't. Moving on to travel and training, not much there because we're not doing a lot of that. Bringing us down into the utilities area, which is a place where we were interested in. And what we found is that if you look at hold this down and go bigger. Big enough? Can you all see that?
No.
Not really. 60.
Oh. How many about now? Does that get better? No?
More?
Yeah.
Okay, you can see that we don't really pay a lot in utility expenses or electrical electricity. That was the one you were interested in, solar stuff. You see that we're not really paying any money here. Look how low it is. But when you get into March, we start paying, really it's 20 grand a month is what our utility bill is if we're not getting solar energy. And of course we have the RV parks that are big in there, right?
And that is, we wouldn't have that if it wasn't for Alex Lemus. He's the one that, our solar panels were headed to Florida and he stepped in and put them in.
Yep.
Are they being watched? When was the last time they were watched?
Well, years. We can't take control of them.
Yeah, we're not allowed to really make any alterations, but we had a guy out here who was like a solar panel expert who was saying that the cleaning really doesn't make a huge difference. It's like maybe 5% of their improvement. He said the big thing is to take a drone and look and see which panels are not working, because sometimes the electrical connections will break.
Connection to that.
Yeah.
Especially in this area.
And there is a way they can do an assessment and determine that, but until we have that resolved or we can actually make alterations.
Is there an end to that resolution?
I mean, it's going to involve some legal expenses. It's probably another discussion. But
it was just hanging out.
Well, but I mean, the status quo is we're not having to pay.
It's the ultimate work we have reimbursed by Lemus for that. Was it 300, 280 some grand got shuffled over? That was.
We never got that.
We
got 60,000 silver cards. We had never collected a dime on, as long as I can remember.
Is there any controllers are going away?
No, I mean, but you see what I'm saying? It's kind of in our
best interest. What would you have done with the solar?
There should be some maintenance, I don't know, but we can't.
But you see what I'm saying? It's kind of in our best interest right now because we're getting solar credits and having to pay for them. And that's kind of over time, it's balancing out. We would have gotten, you know, from that, what he was calling a, what do you call it?
LA payment.
Yeah, well,
SLA.
Solar licensing agreement.
That was fictitious and we never got it.
They told you that you were at the meeting. I remember that.
Yeah, no, we never got it. It was, we were told we were for years, but we never did. So it's part of the loss.
Okay, so if we look at the utilities, then the electricity.
So what you're saying is that kind of shows you what we're saving in solar panel by your monthly amounts when there's more power. So we're still actually saving money even in those months where it's 19 and 20. It's just not as much as when the sunnier, longer days. I've never got that figure as to what we are actually saving. That's one I
This is one way to kind of
one way of kind of doing it. I can get a feeling for it at least, which I have had none. So
I thought there was something that you put together, Christy. Remember, I think it was Commissioner Evans had a request to the Board of Supervisors at one point, and you did sort of a quick analysis to get some figures of what we were actually saving. Remember that?
Yeah, with Gavin felt.
Okay.
It was a 3 month, and it was from last year.
Yeah, so then we can go through our communications and
I mean that is a I mean I know it was a horrible thing that we did with Alex Lemus, but if you look at these situations of the solar panels, we would not have them if it wasn't him. So we are making some money off of that.
Didn't we
and agree, any other ways.
Didn't we agree? Agreed to pay some headhunter firm to go out and reclaim the unpaid, unreimbursed.
Yep, they're an audit company.
Yeah, they're going to get
down the list of people to contact.
And how much are we saving? Well, I've never heard anything about them saving us money yet.
They haven't done it.
We need to follow up with them.
Yeah.
Oh, so we agreed with it, but we haven't
heard anything back.
We haven't gotten back to them to find out that they've done anything. But the idea would be here that we've spent, in 3 months, we spent $13,000 of electricity. Normally, we would be paying $60,000. So that just tells you right there. And
yeah, I mean, I think over a period of time, it's going to really be a benefit for the harms. I was totally against it, but, you know, it happened anyways. But realistically, when you look at it, it is, we are reaping a benefit from it. And year after year, it's going to be a lot of money over time.
So looking at all those utilities then, our propane is pretty much in line.
We're slow. We've already spent $2,500.
Yes, but that's 20. And I've got $8,400 proposed. Mm-hmm. So 24 times 4.
25 times 4 is 10.
Mm-hmm. We did spend a lot more before, but I think a lot of that will go away also when the RV park, if the RV park people go away, right? Because don't they use a lot of that RV? And then the propane is also used for the laundry at the RV park as well.
I did research on that one of the first years of the commission. I wanted a propane tank put in here for selling it. And it was profitable, but we didn't get anywhere with it. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe on the propane.
And because you get your own propane way cheaper, you can service your own vehicles at half the price, and then you sell it to the RV parks. And it was very profitable, but we didn't get anywhere with it.
What does the Coastal Conservancy say about selling propane here?
I didn't get that far. I think it was, you know, we would have it in our maintenance area. So,
the telephone looks like it's maybe a little bit low, but we're trying to get rid of a bunch of phones.
Did we raise the propane to 10, you said?
I did. Put 1600 in there.
Okay.
Why do you guys have 16 lines for your telephone?
Have what?
16 lines.
Lines?
Telephone lines?
Yeah.
Do you have 16 telephone lines?
And I think we've been working on getting those down, though. You know, all of you guys have phones. Are you using your phone lines?
Mm-hmm. My cell phone.
When they call you from the office here, or they dial your number, that was given to you. That goes through the office and goes,
I don't have a number.
When they dial your extension,
I don't.
They call them. Is that correct? When they call the hardware, dial the extension, it goes to one of our lines. Yeah. That's one of those lines.
It's not.
I don't get one.
The Ring Central thing that we're
working on.
Okay. So we're working on all of the phones then. So we've looked at the T-Mobile, we've looked at the Ring Central. We're working on all those to get them more lines, find out who has all those lines.
Yeah, you can omit mine.
I think the cost per line is like $15 extra, but we should go through an audit and see if we can get rid of a few of them.
Yeah.
We've already started.
At the month, $15 a year?
In a month, because I mean, there's like a base charge which covers our central exchange. And then,
We got to have phone lines, but I mean.
Yeah.
Right. What about the Ring Central? It's got such a lag, you can't use it. You can't talk on it because the lag between communicating is not functional.
So we're leaving 12,000.
No, we're leaving it at that because the phone right now are higher than what I budgeted, but we've been reducing costs.
We're going to reduce the cost from 12,000 a work.
Exactly. Okay. So the water and sewer is maybe something that we should be looking at. Water and sewer was 48, and then 57, and then down to 35 last year. I've got it at 38,400. And right now we've got the 3 months of sewer at 10,000. So that would bring that up to 40,000. So maybe we should add, say, 3,000 here.
It's almost 11,000.
In 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there's more usage in the summer months, though. Wouldn't that be our summer? Or no, in the crabbing season, you use a lot of water?
No. Oh, I
have. Water and sewer is used mostly by the plants, isn't it?
Or they have their own? Yeah. No, they
the bathrooms.
I think it's RV park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all. This is all RV park.
The external part's going to be the sewage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you've got crabbers coming in and they're using the showers and the bathrooms,
attribute to
does that offset yeah, that?
Yeah, maybe they should probably.
See,
I know it's a large expense.
And this is really the point. When we evaluate our RFPs for those trailer parks, at the moment, we really don't know for sure what the real income is that we're getting from those parks. Because we were just saying earlier, when we looked at the
income, it's never been separated out.
This is our baseline.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at all the other numbers. You really need that go off that baseline. We are not really making this amount of money that we think
never
we want from somebody else as a baseline. And
never
we assume that they will give us that amount of money. They can actually make this amount of money. Not looking at all the expenses that we incur at the same time.
Okay, so
went on to the trash and recycling. I'm adding some money into there because they had some increases that we didn't know about at the time when we did it at 625. So I'm adding some money into that. And my understanding is that the trash gets a lot higher. Right now I'm well within. I'm at 7,500 is what my trash is. And I budgeted 8,750. But I know that the trash really goes up when the crab season's around, correct?
The water and sewer, you're going to leave it 38,400?
No, I added 5,600.
So what is it?
To come up to 44.
So I just found on that little report that Christina did on the solar, and she estimated in the winter we save about 15% off our bill. In the summer, about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty substantial.
It is.
And for trash, again, if you're just going off of last year, there was a rate increase on July 1. Last year was 108, but the year before was 126, and the year before that, 127. So wouldn't it be more in line to bring it up to 126, 127? If you're going to have more crabbers in here, you're expecting a better year, you're going to have a lot more trash.
So you want to bring that up to 125?
Yeah.
Yeah,
1,000 to it. Okay. Wi-Fi and internet service actually should go down because we just got rid of something over there at the RV parks, right? Because they were doing pornography downloads or something.
Really?
Oh, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Big Charter shut it down because of too many illegal piracy.
Wait, that. That offender's living. What is that?
Okay, so right now we're doing, say, 500, so this could probably be, let's say, minus 2,800 from that. Okay, that's almost it. Let's get down here to the very bottom here.
So we're going 776 on the Wi-Fi?
No, I brought it down to 5,000.
5,000.
I took off 2,800. It was in here somewhere. Where was I? Utility. Yeah, minus 2,800 on that one. Okay, so where we're at right there, we have a net operating income or loss of $550,000.
That's total?
No, that's just from operations. Now we're going to get into what monies do we get, what taxes do we receive, and things like that.
That just took care of all the all the changes we made?
Yeah, exactly. So actually, if you look at how that nets out, I had you at $551,000 as a negative loss from operation. And with all these changes, they net to $1,600, and we end up with a negative $550. So we really didn't, you know, too much there. We changed all the line items.
Yep.
Okay, so now, but we do need to get down here to the interest gain, LAIF, 58.2, because I have 36,000 in there, and according to my records, we knew that this was a mistake on my part when I presented this in June, but we did not amend the budget when I gave it to you guys, so I'm putting it in here now, and I'm reducing it, but we're getting 4%. And I'm leaving that at 7,200, assuming that we're leaving 181,000 as restricted money in our LAIF. So we should get about 7,200 off of that for the year.
Where is that?
Page 5
investment gain.
Yeah, that's the interest we make on the LAIF money.
So it's 36,000.
That's what I have, because that's what we had made previously, but we took a lot of money out of the LAIF, so that money wasn't there.
So now what have we got?
So now we're going to have 181,000, because that's restricted, and we're not supposed to take any of that out. So supposedly we leave 180,000 in there at 4%. Did I do my math right? Are you checking my math?
No, well, I'm just wondering, what is your total? What did you just say it changed to from 36 to
20? We're reducing that number by 28,800. Okay, then we get to what? Go ahead. 20.
You had 273,000 in the LAIF after you took 34,000 out sometime in August or July. I can't remember, but. And now you're saying there's only 181,000.
No. Well, you know what? We're going to come to those numbers in just a minute.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. So now we're on to line 66,001 and 6,002, property tax and TOT proceeds. So we received 400,000 and 260,000. These numbers are interesting because they get accrued into the previous year. So I know that, Rick, you made a comment about we're supposed to get property taxes of 500,000 or something, but I'm only showing 403,000. As soon as something happens here in the next month or so, I'm going to have a better idea about where these numbers should be, and we'll have the year-end part done. But for right now, those are good numbers to use for us to do this budget today. So we're getting in $670,000. So we were at a negative 550. And we get in 670,000. So that's where we get now, a net income or loss of 120,000 positive. But now we have to pay back some principal on some loans and pay some settlements. So there's our FBI arbitration award at 138,000. The settlement is 250,000. The USDA principal portion is 100,000. That brings us up to the 488 capital expenditures. We're going to put under capital improvements there, or I'm sorry, asset purchases. We're going to put in three machines at $1,500, say $5,000 altogether, because we need to buy some computers. So we're going to come up with a net decrease in our position of $375,000. I had us at a negative $340,000.
Yep.
In June, and because of the things that we've just recognized, we know that it's now increased, 33,000 decrease. So here's what I'm giving you. The LAIF was at 304 when we did the approved budget in June. It's now at 273. So that was, 30 grand that we pulled out of the LAIF for cash flow purposes, and that basically was because we had to pay Rich 50 grand, right? And then the checking and operating account was at 63, and we now have 26 in it. So we had cash and reserves on hand at 360, and now we only have 300,000. So now the money that we have is not going to pay. So here's why we have to be talking about USDA money and how do we make payments, break them up, so that we don't have to pay it all at one time, and that allows us some money to be able to get through. Revenue generation isn't considered in here at all. If we assume that we're going to get some things going positive in our way, that answers it, and I know that we can't put that into our budget, but that's where we're at this point. I think between now and the next meeting, not this afternoon's meeting, but in two more, there might be some other things that we can talk about how do we get money to pay for all of this.
So let me just give you a preview of what Mike Farr is going to present. So a big piece of the equation to solve this deficit is through the merit grants. So over the next year to year and a half, we're expecting about $446,000 of administrative money to come from the grants to our payroll. And that's basically about $243,000 from the 2022 grant and $202,000 from the 2024 grant. And so that's just completed environmental review. It's going to be, the contract's going to start probably in November. We can start drawing between $20,000 and $30,000 a month from that. So that's really going to help our shortfall.
You mentioned hiring positions for that, right? 1 to 2 positions.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about that with Mike today, but You could do a project manager or something like that, but you know, we'll see.
And it's already clear that staff can't handle what needs to come, and that we're going to have to hire at least one person.
But that's all grant reimbursable. So it's not additional expenses to us. It's all grant reimbursable. We're only off by 35 grand. We certainly are going to have enough work by the people who are here doing work that we will be able to get reimbursed for the work we're doing. So easily it will cover that. And the other thing that I would note also is that we got in our grant monies, and I have paid all payables up to date. So that means all those big grant guys with the checks you'll be signing this afternoon. So we made it through the first, for me, this was the first big thing. We only had to take 35 grand out of the lathe, and that was because of Rich. And otherwise, we've met our cash flow issues. And now our next time, we don't have to worry, I think, for cash flow until it comes time to make an FBI payment in January. So I'm feeling really good about where we're at, even with all the changes that we've just talked about. And we'll come back to again, right? We're going to revisit this at the financial meeting, but we should feel pretty good about the 2 hours we just put in here.
Well, we skipped over payroll, and I would like to come back to that. Because I took your information, actually, through your spreadsheet on the percentage of raises we're giving around here every year, and it's incredible. And I'm not saying people aren't worth it. I'm not saying we don't have to account for increase in minimum wage. But this year alone, that over last year, the raises were 5%, 7%, 9%, 15%, 23%. These are raises. I mean, this isn't...
There aren't going to be any more raises. This number, they're it. There's no more raises happening this year at all until June 25th. There will be no discussion of raises.
My problem is we knew this was a deficit before we did it, and yet somehow we still have massive raises. And this is year over year over year. These raises are huge.
What's the benefit that we're talking
about? I made it. Oh. I'll make copies.
When was 20% in?
Administrative assistant Gavin got a 23% raise from last year to this year.
But I mean, Gavin was making like minimum wage.
Is making 1640. My point is, you don't just willy-nilly, usually in any federal government, any government agency, there's a percentage. You know, if you're retired, you get a COLA percentage for a raise. If you're in the federal government based on grade, they have a worksheet spread out where you get 2%, 5%, not.
Yeah. I think there's actually a discussion that's going to happen in the meeting this afternoon about pay scales,
yeah.
And we'll be addressing that issue.
And Gavin changed positions. I mean, he was...
I see that increase is not a increase.
I mean, the number of jobs doing compared to what he's doing is that you can't use those numbers.
You can't use these numbers.
No, okay,
whatever. These numbers come poorly to the benefits package that goes with it, so everything goes up. And when you're in a deficit, we're now negative, and you're like, oh, well, we'll get it from grant money, we'll get it from revenue generation, we'll completely deplete the LAFE if we can't do it. That's not how you operate a business.
We can't go back to what was done. What we can do is acknowledge this, because you're absolutely right in what you're saying if you do the analysis of these numbers. But we can't go back and change somebody. They've got those numbers. What we can acknowledge is we know there's no more raises happening. Everybody just got these raises, and they probably shouldn't have because we were in a negative, and we knew this. But in this fiscal year, there will be no – I'm not –
Yeah, you have to keep in mind, like, the way inflation is going.
It doesn't matter.
This stuff is well over a million.
Yeah.
Well over a million.
So
we weren't getting anywhere near done what we are now with the decrease in the payroll we got here has been incredible. And the amount of work we're getting done is just phenomenal. I mean, that's what you got to look at. You got to look at the big picture and not just – micromanage it, and he got a 23% increase because whatever. I mean, he was flipping burgers at McDonald's, and now he took on an executive position. I mean, you just can't do that. It's not comparing. And what you got to look at is where we were and where we've got to. And where we've got to is in a really great place, a really great place.
Oh, we got it.
We are doing very well.
The payroll issues are statewide, they're countywide, they're citywide. They've affected everybody. Positions are being unfilled because of the payroll issues. So we've not only limited our executive staff and cut back on staffing, But yeah, have we increased the salary of the individuals that have stayed on board? Absolutely. And
it's like, a good like, thing.
And like Rick said,
a very good thing, because otherwise that person, and then you would have nothing.
And our number one premise is we value our employees.
Absolutely.
That,
whether you like it or not,
our staff is number one.
Because yes. You're working with a minimum staff and they're doing a heck of a job, and we value them.
Yes.
So we acknowledge that we're in financial straits and there will be no more raises the rest of this year. But if we get to a place where at the end of this year we achieve what we're planning on achieving, they should get a raise.
And the look at the big picture is that we cut it by 40% and we're getting more done.
Yes.
It's not like we cut it by 40% and we're underachieving. We are achieving our goals at a lesser payroll. And I think it's the greatest thing I've worked for since I've been in this position, to cut the staff in this office, because we had people sitting there with their feet on the up on the table, and you'd walk in and they'd have to sleep. And they were getting, and now this staff here we've got here is working so freaking hard. I want to tell you right now, I'm just so pleased with where we're at.
And I want to say, for me, doing this type of business in a lot of places, I attributed a lot to her. When you watch the way these three people work in here as a team, it's somewhat unique to have that kind of.
And to put up with people that want to come in and say, I want a 10,000 page report and I want it now. I mean, to put up with that, it's just crazy.
We're asking them to do more with us.
Doing more with us.
$375,000
Well, you'll
get
it when you get your merit money,
okay.
Because we can't make it any other way.
Okay, so I would say that. I would say that's true. Okay. So something else is important to consider when you look at the percent increases is, like, so take Christina, for example. She's been doing bookkeeping training. She's elevated, you know, her competency. She's really serving in a different capacity now. And ultimately, she's going to be taking over what Sandy's doing. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, promote from within and train and develop our employees, get them to take on more responsibilities, consolidate. So in the end, like Rick said, the overall payroll has gone down, and I think our worker productivity has gone up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
I've seen it. Personally seen it, where we're way more productive with less money. And that's what I look at. If we're putting out more money and not being as productive, I would really have a problem with it.
Yeah. Remember, we had a harbor master, we had an assistant harbor master, we had a finance guy.
And a lady that sat at a desk all day long.
We were top heavy.
Because she had a bad executive
department.
And we paid her, I don't know how much money, to sit there with her foot on the table.
And if I may, just one other thing. If you look at this loss, this is FBI.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is operating how we should be operating, and we just have to pay FBI. And that's,
we didn't have that lawsuit, we would be so profitable right now. It'd be blowing your mind.
Well, go back to staff and the board phone.
Way above where we ever were. That's all I'm getting at.
The point is,
way above where we ever were. We can
move forward.
Yeah.
And we've identified that we are doing well. There's nothing we can do about FBI. We're doing well. And all we have to do is get revenue generation to account for FBI, and that's what we're doing, right? So we're not using grant money to cover any of this. We're going to create a good harbor with the plans you guys are putting in place, and it's going to pay for the fashion blacksmith thing. And then 2 years from now, this will be a very different story. We're on the right. What you should take away from this is we're on the right track, right? We have ways to fill in this bad year, and if some of these things come to fruition, we're there.
That's what the numbers show.
That's what they show, exactly.
Yeah.
So Mike, could you answer a question that came up while you were away? So the $446,000 figure, I just kind of gave a quick preview over the next year and a half. So are we going to take some money away from that to potentially hire a project manager or something like that?
No, you have a separate line item.
Okay.
It's two separate line items that you're going to be able to hire a project manager that's overseeing the project. Now you'll have a RFP out for a general contractor that'll manage the construction project, but you'll be able to have an interface position with somebody who is doing the day-to-day interfacing with the harbor staff, the public, the general contractor, the other subs that'll be on here. Yeah, so that's a separate line item, not in that administration. That administration is for staff to deal with the grant items and the project items.
But it's not necessarily a harbor employee. This could be an employee.
It will not be a harbor employee. As per the rules of the grant, it would be a contracted person. So it could be an engineering firm that's doing it, you know, that has a project manager. But yes, it'll probably be somebody that needs to be on site because this is going to be huge. You're basically going to have five construction projects all going at one time. So you're going to have somebody who you're going to need to have that. And you're probably going to have about 50% of your staff time dealing with these issues that are going to arise every single day on this size of a project.
And having worked in the federal government, there's a lot of daily reporting requirements. So it'll be
there's a lot of reporting requirements and up to date. And if you say, oh, well, I've got to do this monthly report. Well, if you wait till the end of the month to do that report, now you're at 3 days. So on two of our grants right now, we just have our reporting person doing it at the end of every day, right? So that you've got it, it's all there. And that's 45 minutes to an hour every single day on all of the items on that particular project. Yeah. That answers the question?
What about fees for all these RFPs? No advertising fees because wherever you're posting them, there's no fees.
That's correct. The only fees that we've come across are the ones for the real estate, that real estate site.
Any bills yet?
It's kind of like the MLS for commercial real estate.
Yes.
That version.
Yes. There. And the harbor bought a 3 month
posting.
Yeah, 3 month posting for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the only one. There's really not,
Awesome. Thank you, Mike. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, we are.
All right, meeting adjourned. The next meeting.
Sandy, brought up a couple things I need clarified on. You said that you can convince Rod to push the election back next year.
I just want to suggest to him that if he's going to do this, he needs to make it coincide with next year's election, because otherwise it's going to cost us the 130 and we don't have the money to do it.
Okay, but the deadlines for that election are very specific under these state statutes, very specific.
I understand that he knows what those deadlines are, and I hope he's adhering to those.
Okay, and when is the election fee due?
Not until the election actually happens. You usually get a bill after the fact. I wonder if that's how they'll do it, if they have to do a special one. Typically in our elections, we get a bill, October maybe, is it? October? They send you your bill for your election.
So when do you expect that Raj will see?
I have no idea. I don't know if you were here when we were talking about those numbers. He's got to have 3,200 people to repo, and only about 7,000 people vote.
Yeah, there's 26,000 in the Dillon County, 12,000 registered voters. Last year, there was only about 7,000 who actually voted. So he needs at least 3,200 signatures just to get in on the ballot.
But I would hope anybody and everybody is saying to Roger, you know that you need to make your deadlines work. So it's on part of if he does this, it's got to be part of the election, right? That's what we're going to say,
yes,
obviously.
Yes.
I'm sure that would get our agreed to when he signs the petition.
All right. Okay, did you get your questions answered? Okay, meeting adjourned. See each other at 2 o'clock.
What number to share
with you? Oh, is it first thing for